So tonight we are in the middle of our prayer time. We've already completed that 24-hour fast on Sunday, Monday, and then so tomorrow night we start again at 6 p.m. till Friday. 6 p.m. is the ending of this week of prayer and fasting. So we continue to pray this week, and we'll continue, and then Thursday night we do, you that want to participate, we start the fast at 6 p.m. and we end at 6 p.m. on Friday, and that concludes pretty much our week of time of prayer and fasting. And on your bulletin on the back of it, it did have a list of things to pray for on each day. You pray for as many of them, whatever ones you want, but we were putting in there specifically one or two specifically to pray for. And so tonight, when we close out tonight, I think today's is actually new song, I think, the new church plant. So we're going to pray for those to give you guys an opportunity. So I'm going to try to leave some time in the end that we can pray for some of these before we close out. So if we're going to do that, I'm going to need to move on with what we're doing tonight. So tonight, I want to share with you, it's probably, if you haven't read your Bible much, you're not going to really know what I'm talking about tonight, but it is still good to get it. You'll get some stuff out of it. You're going to see some things that may seem tough and hard, but you're also going to see that God is, God does love people. So I just want to remind you that life is a gift. God will give us a gift called life, and we are to live that life the best way that we can. And so God takes life very, very seriously. He does. And tonight, knowing that I've kind of been in Joshua here for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be in Joshua again tonight. So we've been kind of talking about Joshua taking the lead last Sunday, about being strong and courageous, taking over from Moses and those things. A week before that, I think we even talked about Joshua being able talking about giving out the land and the plots of land and all that kind of thing. And so we talked about that. But tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about something called the cities of refuge. There were these cities of refuge, and it can kind of seem like an odd thing, but as we go, we're going to see that God has a heart for people. Kind of the judicial system that we have is there's a lot of things that our country and the world take from God's word. And the judicial system sometimes seems like it can be a good thing. Sometimes it feels like it might be corrupted here and there. But God had a way of doing things in the way. And his way, let me just remind you, God's ways work. God had a set of laws back then, had God these Ten Commandments, had a set of laws. The problem is they weren't bad. We just didn't know how to follow them. We have a problem following rules. Some of you here tonight have a problem following rules. Some of us here tonight also, we don't like authority. We don't like authority. We don't like somebody telling us what to do. Let me remind you, it doesn't matter. Even presidents and kings and queens across the whole world, there'll be one day when they will all kneel, and every human being will kneel before God and say, Jesus is Lord, whether they want to or not, because God is the ultimate authority. Your mind, you're not as smart as you think you are. I'm not as smart as I think I am. I'm not as good as I may think I am, and you're not either. Man needs to plead. Man needs this one thing. He needs this one thing. Women need one thing in their life, really, and it is that we all need God. And God has been dealing with people from day one. And, man, it didn't take long, and we messed up. We messed up. And so here it is. God's people have these lands and these areas that they have. And so there's this thing called, there's this thing that God had talked to Moses. And we're going to go back to when God talked to Moses about it. But here it is with Joshua. It says, the Lord is going to speak to Joshua again. And we're going to pick up in verse 1. It says, then the Lord, Joshua chapter 20. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, tell the Israelites, select your cities of refuge, as I instructed you through Moses, so that a person who kills someone unintentionally or accidental may flee there. These will be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Well, that's a lot. Lord, I just pray, Father, tonight that your spirit is with us and among us tonight, that your word may be preached, we may learn, have ears to hear, and understand what we may need to know tonight from your word, and we may grow in our walk with you. In Christ's name, amen. So what we see here, this is kind of a part here. People say, well, you don't really want to preach that. You kind of teach it. It's a little bit of both. But again, it is part of God's word, and sometimes you just can't keep going to your favorites. You got to go to some of these things that you have to wrestle with a little bit. So what are some things we're looking at here, right here? So some of the things that we're looking here is that we're talking about when someone kills someone unintentionally. Now, the Bible does say, thou shalt not murder. I think it's number 6 on the Ten Commandment list. Number 6, thou shalt not murder. Comes in right after, honor thy father and thy mother. So it's number 6. God takes murder very seriously. He really does. Because God loves life. God is about life. Sin is about death. Satan is about death and cruelty and all those things. But God really wants people to have life. He really does. And he wants, as Jesus says, I've come to make life more abundantly. So there is a part that God wants us to have life. But there are a couple of things here. So that a person who kills someone unintentionally or by an accident. So what happens? Sometimes people die by an accident. Today, you know, there's a difference between murder, kill, manslaughter. There's all those kind of things like that. When you murder someone, you're going to break the law. You're criminally doing something to kill someone. Killing is when someone, you can accidentally kill someone, in a car accident, someone jumps out in the front, just different things can happen. But here it is, God says, listen, I love people. God's saying, I love people. I want to protect people who are innocent. But we also need to know that people who are guilty also need to be caught. So God's going to keep this stuff in the balance, and we're going to see that here in just a few minutes. But here it is, there are people, God is so worried, God is so concerned, that there are people out there that get killed by accidentally. Okay? Accidentally, something happens and someone dies. Now here it is, God's got a way to work with that. It seems weird and odd, but he says, listen, you need to put out 6 cities and make those cities a refuge. Now how does that work? So someone's out in the field and they're plowing a field and their ox or their mule stumbles and stampedes over someone. Well, the Old Testament Leviticus would say if that steer gored somebody and killed him, that ox, that steer is going to be put to death, whatever it may be. But that person, here's what God says about that person. He says, you need to run. You need to run. Flee means you need to run because there's something coming, and that is the Avenger of Blood. The Avenger of Blood. And that's a tough one, isn't it? The Avenger of Blood. Why would that be? Because God has laws. Now, again, I want to remind you that we just couldn't keep up, couldn't do the laws. We just couldn't keep them, right? Here's what happens. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 14, there's a law that says, if a person schemes and willfully acts against his neighbor to murder him, you must take him before my altar and put him to death. So God's saying, you go out and you kill somebody and you plant it, your life is due. But here's the thing, the Avenger of Blood would go after them and try to put them to death because you killed my uncle in the field. Your wife made some stew that was had some poison in it, and I got 2 family members that worked for you, and they died, so I'm coming after you. So there was accidents that happened. Somebody's working in the wood. I don't know if you ever used an axe before, but sometimes if you don't do the axe right, I've seen them, axe heads go flying right off of the handle, and if it goes and hits somebody, it does seriously damage, and if it hits the head, it can possibly and kill somebody. So basically, the Bible says, listen, you run to a city of refuge. It's a safe place, and we're going to work this out. God's going to, you're going to work it out with this system, but here it is. It's a city of refuge. Now, here's what happens. He says, I want to go back. I do want to come over here to Numbers chapter, so when I talked about Moses here, Numbers chapter 25, if you want, you can go there, or Numbers 36, sorry. No, it is 35, 35, sorry. Verse 30, he says, here it is, it's talking about this whole thing about the cities of refuge. When God was talking to Moses, he says, if anyone kills a person, that murderer is to be put to death based on the word of witnesses. But no one is to be put to death based on the testimony of one witness. So he's saying this, it has to be 2 witnesses, not 1. Because people lie, don't they? Unfortunately, people lie. And so he says, you must, in verse 31, you are not to accept a ransom for the life of someone who is guilty of murder. He must be put to death. Basically, just because you have money, you don't get out of it. You can't pay yourself out of it. Okay? You can't, a person could not pay their guilt. They could not get themselves, it wasn't a, I'm going to buy myself a get out of jail free card. But also says, neither should you accept a ransom. So he's also saying, listen, you don't receive money. You don't want to be, don't accept a bribe for someone who flees his city of refuge, allowing him to return and live in the land before the death of the high priest. So there's a piece here. If he goes in and they have that piece there, they're waiting for this trial piece, he can't leave. Once he gets in there, the elders outside, once he gets in there, he does not leave. Okay? He, she does not leave. Okay? He doesn't leave. Okay? Not until it's taken care of. And the high priest has to, the high priest has have to die before that person leaves. We may have a time to come back to that, but I'm not sure. I want to move on to some other things. But verse 33 is a very important piece. Do not defile the land where you live, for bloodshed defiles the land, and there can be no atonement for the land because of the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of the person who shed it. So basically, think about all the places that where there's a lot of bloodshed. Everything's falling apart. It's almost like there's a curse in the land. There's a curse in the country. There's just, it's horrible. And what we see here, people say, well, I don't really need to know all this stuff. I really don't need to know all this stuff. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the Bible is in, it just twists and goes in all kinds of ways. It's like a bowl of spaghetti, and you try to grab the noodle, one noodle that you want to grab. Listen, you need to go through all of them. They're all very important. This may seem weird and odd, but it does come to a really good place. And God put it in his word. He told his people, this is what you do. And I'm sure there were people thankful for a city of refuge when they something happened and they were on the run. See, they didn't have OSHA back then. Come around telling you can't climb up something or you do this or do that. Yeah, they might be overextending now. You guys that work in big factories, OSHA come in here and fine you this and ticket you that because you got this out of place. Listen, because people die. Stupid accidents happen. And so, but what he's saying, what the Lord's saying, it says, when blood is shed, it defiles the ground. Okay? It defiles the ground. It defiles the ground. And it says that except by blood of the person who shed it, it's the only way that it goes away. And verse 34 says, do not make the land unclean where you live and where I dwell, for I, the Lord, reside among the Israelites. So the Lord is there, and he doesn't want that there. So I want to read something out of here as well. In Genesis chapter 4, what we find here is Cain decides to take his brother Abel out into a field, and he's planning to kill his brother. Because he's pretty jealous, he's envious, because God is accepting, he's accepting Abel's sacrifices, but Cain, God is not happy with. So Cain gets jealous, and he's going to take his brother out into the field. And so what happens is he kills his brother. And God comes along the scene. And I want to just read just a couple of verses here in Genesis chapter 4. And then the Lord says, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. What? Your brother's blood cries out to me from where? From the ground. It's the same thing we just read about the cities of refuge where the murders are happening, as though the blood cries out to God because there is murder that has happened. But he says, so now you are cursed. God says to Cain, now you are cursed, alienated from the ground that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed. Once again, it's going back to the ground. If you work the ground, it would never again give you its yield. You're a gardener, Cain, but now the ground is cursed. You shed blood. Blood is in the ground. The blood is innocent blood. It is Abel's. It's crying out to me. I hear it. I see it. I'm telling you now, you're cursed. When you work the ground, it's not going to work for you. And then he says, you will be a restless wanderer on the earth. But Cain answered the Lord, my punishment is too bare. It's too much. It's too much. And it goes on from there. But you're not going to change God's mind. Okay? So here it is. There's an important piece about this blood that's being shed. And you think about all the world. The world is really, I'm going to say it's dark, but I want to remind you that there are believers in the world who have the light of Christ, the gospel. So there is light in this dark world, okay? But the world is really, really, I was looking through the stats and just knowing how many murders were there in Indiana and Chicago and Memphis had all this crime, but Texas, Houston had all these murders and everything. And you think it would be New York City, but it's more like down in Texas and other places. But what I found out was murder was everywhere. It was in every state. Every state had murder. And God sees it all. So somehow, people think they can get away with it. They can't. So what happens? Verse 4. When someone flees to one of these cities and stands at the entrance of the city gate and states his case before the elders of that city, they are to bring him into the city and give him a place to live among them. And if the avenger of the blood pursues him, they must not hand the one who committed manslaughter over to him, for he killed his neighbor accidentally. So what he's saying is that this person runs up to the city gates, because back then it wasn't all open. There's walls, things like that. There were city gates, and the main, very smart people, supposed to be smart people, elders that's been around, supposed to be wise people, would hear this person come up and say, "Ah, oh, I want to tell you, I got somebody after me. You see that cloud of dust? They're looking for me. What happened?" Well, my horse ran over somebody by accident. I wasn't on it, but it ran over somebody in the field, and it killed Uncle John over there and their family, and the avenger is coming after me. And so I'm looking for a place of refuge so someone can hear my case. And they would say, okay. They would talk amongst themselves, say, this seems like a worthy piece. We're going to bring you in. Okay? It's almost kind of sounds like our judicial system today, doesn't it? You're innocent before what? Proven guilty, right? Here it is. God says, it needs to be heard. It needs to be heard. Okay? So we see that that is going on. So there's this always roaming out there. It seems like there's this avenger of blood. Now listen, there are some groups. I don't want to talk about those groups tonight. But there are some groups of people, even in America, if you mention the word the avenger of blood, they know about it. That avenger of blood has not gone away. There are some groups of people that still want to follow some of this stuff. That is amazing to me that people still follow this. But at this time, this is how God wanted it to work. That people who were killed was taken care of in the right way. In verse 6, he says, he is to stay in that city until he stands trial before the assembly and until death of the high priest serving at the time. So he has to do two things. That person goes in knowing that they're going to have to stay in there until that trial and the death of the high priest serving at the time. That's just a really odd piece, but that's just the way God wanted it to be. And then the one who committed the manslaughter may return home to his own city from which he fled. And there's some reasons that they can do that too. Now they can be proven innocent. Again, remember, it can't be on one witness. It has to be two witnesses. And then it says in verse 9, these are the cities appointed for all the Israelites and the aliens residing among them. This is what's really cool about this. It's not just for the Israelites. So many things were just for the Israelites, but this was also for the stranger in the land. This is also showing that God loves everyone. Okay? So everyone had the opportunity. Everybody knew that when you went into the land of the Israelites, if something happened, you can run to one of these cities of refuge. So they reside among, so that anyone who kills a person unintentionally may flee there and not die at the hand of the avenger of blood until he stands before the assembly. And then it goes on to some of the cities and those kind of things. So what we're seeing here tonight is that people, God is loving people to the point, and it seems weird, but it seems that when somebody gets killed unintentionally, whatever it means, by accident, they have a place that they can run to. Now, the cities of refuge were really for people who were innocent, but they were also places sometimes where guilty people would run to try to con themselves out to people. But I believe that God used the high priest, and God spoke through the high priest, and the priest would say, nope, you're lying. God revealed it to me that you are lying, and you will be put to death, and the avenger of blood would have that to avenge. Now, also, if a person who was in the city of refuge, and they decided, well, it's been 6 months, and my trial's not here. They gave me a home, but they gave me a little place to stay, but I'm going to go home. Once he steps outside that gate, outside that city, he's on his own. If that avenger of blood gets him, the avenger of blood is innocent, and that person Avenger blood takes his life, takes that man's life, so be it. He knew the rules that he was supposed to stay into the city of refuge. Folks, Jesus is the city of refuge for all of us. It isn't that we're innocent running to Jesus. Jesus takes everyone, all innocent and all guilty. And basically, none of us are really innocent. We're all guilty. Here's the thing. Jesus already knows you're guilty. He already knows it, but he has a door that's wide open. And he says, you can flee to me. Once you get in there with Jesus, you are protected. The problem is we like to leave the city. We like to leave Jesus as a refuge. We like to run out there, and then we get burnt, and we get hurt, and we do things we shouldn't do. We get into things we shouldn't get into, and things cause problems. We find out, well, if we stay within Jesus, we're good to go. Amen? Once we step out, we get out there, and that Avenger out there is ready to go, and the Avenger is sin. Always wants to come back and grab us and get us back into that lifestyle that we shouldn't be living. And Psalms 91 has a good piece for us tonight, because I believe Jesus wants to be our city of refuge, our person, our place of refuge. That is your place of peace and safety. And I hope tonight that you have ran to Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew, he said, everyone, all you who are weary, he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burden. He said, I'll give you rest. Jesus was inviting everyone in to him, to come to him, and he would protect as a refuge from all the things that are going on. And Psalms chapter 91, what we see is protection from the Most High, which is God. This is Christ. So in verse 2 it says, I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress. Here it is, Scripture saying that God is my refuge. Isn't that awesome? God is my refuge. These people needed a city of refuge to run an accidental death. Accident, they ran as fast as they could. Scripture didn't say walk to a city of refuge. It didn't say run. It said flee. Flee means to run as fast as you can, because something's coming after you. And it's swinging hard. And it's got... You notice when somebody wants to go for revenge, avenge. And they're all pumped up. Listen, Scripture, the Lord says you flee. You run. And I think tonight maybe God's saying, you need to run to me. You've been out of my refuge for a long time. It's time to run. And I want you to run. I want you to flee to me. And here Scripture says, I will say concerning the Lord. The writer says, who is my refuge and my fortress? My God in whom I trust. Verse 3 says, he himself will rescue me. He will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. But also it says in verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and you will take refuge under his wings. And using that word refuge again. Refuge is, we need refuge. Listen, if you can defend yourself, you could have done it already. God didn't say stand there and protect yourself. Stand there and do what you need to. Defend yourself. Stand there and go on the aggression. No. He said, run. This is bigger than you. Run. Folks, sin is bigger than us. If you could have beat it, you would have beat it already. But the Scripture says, for all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fallen short. We need a refuge. Verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord my refuge. The Most High, your dwelling place. And again, the refuge. When you get in the refuge, the protection. It says in verse 11, for he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. Listen, what I think really God is saying in this whole thing is listen, I got you if you let me. I got everything to protect you. I got everything you need. If you just let me be your refuge. You ever was growing up in elementary and there was the bully down the street or a bully on the bus. And there was this one time when you just ran as hard as you could just to get away. I'm the only one kid on the block that had some bruisers down the street. Me and Brett did. They were called the Lee Brothers. They're about 5, 6, 7 years older than us, and they love to beat people up. They like to beat people up that are much younger than them. And when you see them, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. You're in junior high, and they're up in high school, or even out of high school. These boys, They were so rough. I sit there and somebody told me that they were going to be, some of you guys would know my age, maybe around there, that know that show called Scared Straight. They were on there. I said, no, that's one of them right there. He wasn't so tough there. You know, Scared Straight, they beat him down to where they almost start crying, and some of them do start crying. I said, wow, he's not as tough as he was chasing all of us young kids on the street. But that's what darkness does. It'll chase you. And you know why sin chases you? You know why darkness chases you and chases us? You know why? Because we're not in the refuge of Christ. We're out running around doing our thing. And the Lord said, come here, flee to me. Flee to me. Run to me. Run to me. The city of refuge was a good place for people to run to. Whether they were guilty, innocent, whatever. If somebody died, they could run there. But eventually the truth would come out. But you know what's great about the Jesus when he's your refuge? You don't even have to plead your case. He already knows it. He already knows you're guilty. But he opens the door and says, come on in. Because you know what he's doing? He said, we're going to work on that. We're going to work on that stuff. We want to get everything fixed right now. But he said, he knows that there's going to be work to be done on each one of us. But he's not going to do all that work when you're out there. His good work is when you let him. You got to let him in. You got to say, I want Jesus to be my refuge. You see, tonight, we're in church tonight. Not 7 o'clock. Some guys have already went home. And now they're at the bar. Yeah, that's their city. That's their city of refuge. Some guys haven't even went home yet. They don't know when they're going home because they're at their place of refuge. The bars aren't full in the daytime. They're full at night. The strip joints aren't full at the daytime. They're full at night. All those places where sin and all those things, they love to be open at night because in the night, nobody sees. So they think. When we should be at home with our family, doing our family thing, doing those things. You know what? Tonight we're in a city where, you know, we're kind of in a refuge. This is what people that have Jesus as a refuge do. They worship. They go to a common place that's normal for them, that's regular for them, that they know about. It is a place of worship. And if they go to dinner somewhere with someone, they go with people that they know. They hang around with people that are in the city of refuge. And you know what the people that are as Jesus is, as the refuge, you know what the people do in there? You know what we do? Because tonight I will say, I'm in the refuge of Jesus is my refuge. But you know what happens when you're in Jesus as a refuge? You work your stuff out with him. You're still a work in progress. You start looking outside Jesus and you start seeing your loved ones that don't have Jesus as a refuge. You start looking at your friends and your family member that don't have Jesus yet, and your heart is pleading for them. And you know what's so cool about it? You can just lean over and you can talk to Jesus about it. You can pray about it because you're in his, he is your refuge. He's your protection. He's your strength. I bet anybody that went to a city of refuge could tell their testimony would be not maybe so much the trial. It could be part of that. But I think the biggest part of their testimony is when it happened and when they started running and when that venture of blood was right after them. Who's going to get there first? Who's going to try to cut them off? Who's going to get there first? I remember when I flee to the city, when I flee and I ran and I fled to Jesus. There was a lot of stuff behind me. And it was running fast. The problem is when we get Jesus as our refuge and we kind of slip back out, then we end up, and some of you know, you might have kids, it might be yourself, you might have some grandkids or whatever, but basically they're over there and you're like, oh my gosh, they went back out, and that becomes the prodigal. They know better. They've been inside, they know better, and they gotta, and you know what? We pray for them. But when you flee to Jesus as your refuge, it'll be something you've never forgotten. And I would say this tonight, if you don't know the time when you fled to Jesus as your refuge, I would probably be thinking you need to figure out, really, do you have salvation or not? Most of us don't go to Jesus when everything is working great. Amen? We didn't come to Christ in salvation when everything was working great. And we came to Christ finding out, man, it's not working for me. Life is not working for me. And you found out there is another way, and it's the only way. And someone shared that Jesus loves you. And so you took that and you ran with it. How many of you look for the day when you can just, you look for the day of seeing Jesus? I do. I think life is a gift. I feel blessed in my life. I love my family. I love my wife. I feel blessed. But there is a day that I'm going to say, listen, I just want to run to Jesus. Not because I got junk in the back. It's all taken care of. But I just want to see him. Even if he's just a little image way down there, I just want to get closer. I want to get closer. Because there's something about being in the protection of Jesus. When he just puts his arms around you and puts his presence around you, there's nothing like it. It's the greatest feeling, the greatest place to be in your whole life. But until you flee to him, you have no clue what I'm talking about. You have no clue what I'm talking about. I think some of us tonight would say, thank you, Jesus, for opening up that I can come to you as a refuge. I didn't even know it. There was this one moment that happened in your life, and you were running, living life, and the next thing you know, you're running toward Jesus. People that were running to the cities of refuge, probably most of them were innocent. They didn't plan to kill anybody. They were innocent people running. But every person that runs to Jesus as a refuge is guilty. Isn't that why he came? Come so that all might be saved. Stands at the door and knocks. Studying this message tonight made me go back to my past and think about it. I didn't think about my junk. I didn't think about my sin. I didn't think about those things. I knew they were there. But what I focused on was, Jesus is just so awesome. It didn't matter what I brought. He just kept saying, keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Father, we're getting ready to move to another part of our service. I pray, Father, your will would be done upon us so that you can say that your service was complete tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.